This is the Unconquered Podcast on Seminole Sports Radio, part of the VSporto Network, bringing you all Noles all the time.
In Florida State, we won national championships and ACC championships.
Back to some basics, consistency in what we're doing. Guys getting rolled banged and bruised, working a bunch of different situations, making progress.
You have to have success so you know something, I can really do this.
Welcome back to the Unconquered Podcast, everybody. I'm your host, Jason Staples. Once again, you can find me on Twitter at Doc Staples, and don't forget to subscribe to this podcast if you haven't already done it. You can do it through iTunes or your podcast manager of choice. You can also listen to this podcast on Seminole Sports Radio from VSporto and listen on your mobile devices via the Seminole Sports Radio app, available on iTunes or the Android Marketplace. And of course, if you're enjoying this podcast, please keep rating us. Give us 5-star ratings every time you do that on iTunes. That helps us a bunch. So, let's go ahead and get right to it. Quite a bit to talk about today. We're going to do a couple segments. First segment, we're going to go through some more stuff from spring practice at Florida State, including some of the biggest surprises from Florida State spring football practice so far, and look at basically what we've been hearing from inside practice since the last scrimmage. Also, second segment, we're going to look at a little bit at recruiting and how Florida State is using spring practice as a recruiting tool. Florida State rolling in recruiting right now, and looks like this class is going to be in great shape. So we're going to go ahead and get to that first segment, looking at how spring practice has shaken out so far, looking at some of the surprises and sort of where things stand, just a little past the halfway point and through the first scrimmage, which obviously was a chance to really see where a lot of players are at, and my compadre over at NoleDigest.com, Wayne McGahee III, who's not with us today, but we've been obviously getting what we can from the coaching staff and various sources around the Florida State program on where things are at this point in the spring, and there's quite a bit to talk about. I mean, that first scrimmage, there were some things, some really encouraging things, and then there's some things that there are some concerns about at this point. And I would say, you know, to this point, still probably the biggest surprise so far in the spring has been Rick Leonard at that offensive line spot for a couple different reasons. One is that, you know, basically I got more information, the last few days, and basically that one of the surprises is that, you know, they expected him to really, because of his athleticism, work really well at the tackle position and be more of a space guy. But he struggled more in space than what they anticipated, and he's actually been better inside than outside. We talked a little bit about that the last podcast. They even tried him out some at center. As of right now, it doesn't look like the center thing is going to work, in part because he struggled snapping the football, and that is... That's the thing you have to be able to do if you're going to play center. I mean, that's why center is such a difficult position. He was able to really do what he needed to do physically at the guard spot and at the center spot when he was able to snap it well. You know, he's able to more or less handle the defensive tackles better in many cases than some of the other centers on the roster. But the snap is really the thing you have to worry about. So as of right now, he's been working with the ones at the right guard position and has looked pretty good there. Again, that wingspan, that length, and that quickness allows him to do some things at that right guard position that should also be able to help the center position just a little bit, but he's had the physicality to win some battles inside against the defensive line, and that's been the real eye opener. The real surprise has been that, again, he was, you know, they were looking at him as an offensive tackle, I think, when they moved him over, when he asked to move, but as of right now, he's potentially in line to give a run at that right guard spot. And again, right tackle, you know, he may get more reps at that at some point, and who knows if he develops into a tackle down the line. But as of right now, he looks a little bit more like a guard, and I think that, again, is a bit of a surprise. That said, if he's an improvement at that spot, that allows them some flexibility to do what they want to do up front. So You know, one other thing that I've heard in terms of the offensive line is that Brock Rubel at that right tackle position has taken a pretty nice step forward this offseason, that he spent a lot of time in the film room and working really on his lower body strength, and that he's been more physical and he's been better in terms of his positioning and all of these things that you need to take those steps forward at that right tackle position. He's taken a nice step forward. So that's been a real plus. I think the staff is still expecting at this point, Derek Kelly to really come in and be the guy at that right tackle position. I think that's what they're hoping for. So at this point, we may, you know, if we're going to project the starting right guard and right tackle, I would say maybe it may wind up being Rick Leonard and Derek Kelly at those two spots. And of course, Wilson Bell, is going to fight for that right guard spot, as is, Brock Rubel is going to continue to fight for that right tackle spot. And also you've got Cole Minshew at that right guard spot. Minshew, as it turns out, I mean, he's just not quick enough at that center position, I don't think. I mean, from what I saw of him moving around in fourth quarter drills, I just don't think he's going to be quick enough to play the center position. So he really is slated to compete at one of those guard spots. To this point, right now, Rick Leonard has the edge on him and on Wilson Bell right now in terms of what they've been doing up front at that right guard spot. So it's going to be interesting to see. Again, they continue to cross train to do a lot of stuff at that at those offensive line positions. Now, overall, there are a few other things to report on the offensive line. One is really at the center position, the experienced centers. So that's Alec Eberle and Corey Martinez have snapped it consistently this spring. So the snap problems that we saw last year really are a thing of the past at this point. Both guys are snapping it a lot better. And so far, the false starts that characterized last season, both in practice and in games, have pretty much disappeared. So that's a big positive. I mean, false starts are so frustrating. Because, I mean, again, it's one of those things where you come out and you now have to run a new play. You're 5 yards, you've put yourself behind the chains. It's a way to just completely, with a simple mental mistake, submarine a drive. And they did that repeatedly last year, and that hasn't been a problem so far this spring. So that's also been a real positive. The negative is that offensively, the one real concern at this point continues to be at that center position. Bottom line is that while Eberle and Martinez are snapping the football better at this point than they did last year and are reliable in that regard, they're still getting manhandled, more or less. They're still getting handled by the defensive tackles across from them. So Naughty and Christmas and Ime and Wood and Jones and Taylor, those guys have been eaten. And the centers have had their hands full. They've been getting walked back a little bit, getting ragdolled here and there. And the real issue is that they're not strong enough at the center position to be able to block some of the defensive tackles that Florida State has on roster. And some of that is that Florida State is elite at the defensive tackle position. No, they may not have a Timmy Jernigan exactly, but they really feel like they can go six deep with quality, with real quality. I'm talking about starter quality out of this group. That they can put not just Naughty and Christmas out there, but Jones and Ime. They can stick Taylor out there. They can put even Cedric Wood has been really a revelation so far in practice. I mean, he essentially doesn't really know what he's doing, but he's so strong and so physical that, again, he's got a chance to potentially earn some snaps. The one guy that really hasn't really flashed all that much, from what I understand, has been Arthur Williams, who just needs to drop some weight. He's just about 20 pounds overweight, and even he, again, has done some good things in team and in scrimmage contexts. So, you know, that's as good and as deep a defensive tackle group as they've had in a while, and they feel like they can rotate 6 300-pounders going into next year and be really comfortable with that. So given that, of course, the centers are having some difficulties, but again, you need to be able to block some of those elite defensive tackles when you're going to be competing for championships. So they just need to get better at that position. I mean, there's just no way around it. And really the thing that those guys are going to need to do is put on 10, 15, really 15 plus pounds over the summer. Both Martinez and Eberle need to just lift and eat a ton over the summer to get to where they can, they have the bulk and the anchor, the ability to work, to pop through those hips, to actually be able to handle some of the bigger defensive tackles that they'll go against. That's the one concern right now on the offense, the biggest concern on the offense. The other concern on offense is something that I think this is one of the other surprises, perhaps, if you're looking from the outside in. It's not that surprising if you're paying close attention. But the other concern right now is at the running back position for the backup running backs. So, I mean, it's one thing to say Florida State has concerns about the running back position. Well, I mean, you got Dalvin Cook. But you got to have somebody, you know, given Cook, especially his injury difficulty last year, you've got to have guys that can spell him. You've got to have guys you can give carries, particularly in the lesser games, guys who can take carries away from him. And, you know, to this point, they still really, they've got to develop more there. Jaquez Patrick in particular has to get more consistent running behind his pads. He's still got to work on consistently running like a big back. And if he's able to do that, then that obviously helps fix that problem, fix that concern. Ryan Green has moved back to running back, as we talked about in the last podcast. And, you know, he had a long run in the scrimmage, apparently a pretty impressive run. But again, basically what I've been told there is that, you know, he's a good option and he's versatile and he's got really good speed and burst, but he's not special. He's not, you know, Dalvin Cook is special. You know, you've got, you know, again, one of the guys I talked to talked about how, you know, back when you had Warwick Dunn, you had Rock Preston, who maybe wasn't special, but he was still pretty darn good. Same thing with Travis Minor and Jeff Chaney and some of those. As of right now, they don't have that second guy. And what they're hoping is that, you know, Jaquez Patrick can become a Wilder or a Carlos Williams to pair together with Dalvin Cook to be the thunder to the lightning, to give some short yardage stuff and so on. And that's something that they continue to work on pretty hard as an emphasis, is again blocking that guard center guard area in short yardage and being able to get those tough yards. And that's where Patrick has to step forward and really be the guy. Wide receiver wise, Travis Rudolph continues to have a stellar spring. He's been above expectation so far. The young guys have flashed here and there. Pig and Campbell have shown improvement when they've been out there. Basically, those are the two guys that have been mentioned a little bit to both me and to Wayne over at Noel Digest as guys who've sort of stood out at different points. But Harrison has been out with you know, most of the spring. So when he has been out there, he's flashed, but again, he can't stay out there. And that's been his problem more than anything the last couple years. Campbell missed a couple practices with that sort of fluky, mild concussion. So, you know, the receivers, and receivers tend to get banged up in spring because spring tends to be pretty physical. But the receivers, I think the receivers are going to be fine. Tate had a big catch in the scrimmage, but still too inconsistent, and he's battling a groin injury. Ermin Lane has had some moments this spring where he's apparently looked like a monster and then he fades back. And again, he's still working through some injury issues with his foot and shoulder stuff. So I think the receiver position at this point, I think they'll be fine. They'll find a combination, to work. And with Rudolph stepping forward like he is, that's probably going to make a little bit of room for some of the other young guys to step forward as well. So, I think the other thing is that basically as you get one of these other guys a little bit more confidence out there, particularly one of the bigger guys, that ultimately ends up opening Rudolph up that much more. So the passing game has a chance to really progress, particularly since, and this is the other thing, DeAndre Francois has really taken a step forward, going through the scrimmage and so on. He still had some bad plays here and there, but he's starting to flash the kind of talent that he has. He's, you know, he came out, we talked about in the first podcast that he came out first week and looked kind of tentative. But he's apparently, from what I've been told, started to turn it loose a little bit more and play with some confidence. And when he plays with confidence, he's got an NFL arm and he's been flashing it. And so at this point, really, he looks like he's going to make a real run at the starting quarterback position. And at this point, my money would be on him winning that starting quarterback position because he's doing all the right things and he's making the right kind of progress over the course of the spring. And that's obviously a great indicator for Florida State fans, because when you have a guy like a DeAndre Francois with that kind of talent at that quarterback position, the ceiling for the season immediately goes up. But again, he has to eliminate some of those bad plays, has to continue to mature, continue to do what he's doing, and have a good summer, and continue to develop for this to really carry this momentum into the fall. And this competition is going to go well into the fall. And as for Malik Henry, you know, he's hit a bit of a freshman wall. I mean, at this point in the spring, you're installing a ton more stuff. You're dealing with a lot more concepts, and it's just hard. You know, you hit a little bit of a wall, and he is just swimming in information as he's trying to learn the offense. The positive is that he's still really accurate, even when he's thrown to the wrong spot, the wrong guy. He might throw to the wrong guy and still complete it. Fisher mentioned that in an interview earlier this spring, that basically he's been able to make throws where it's the wrong throw, but it's still completed. And as of right now, what they're trying to do is just to make sure that he learns things to know where to go, so he's thrown into the right spots. Now, and the other thing is that his anticipation has compensated as well for not having the arm strength, the natural arm strength that Francois does. And that's not to say he has a weak arm. It's just, you know, not many guys have the gun that Francois does. So I think, you know, Henry at this point is definitely a good ways behind DeAndre Francois. But again, after he's gotten through the spring, continues to work on understanding and learning the offense and watching tape from the spring, looking at his mistakes, looking at what he did right, and working through the summer, this is still going to be a battle. He's still going to be a factor in this battle once he comes into the fall and he really understands things more. Because then, you know, again, he's got a real poise about him and a natural ability to process information that, you know, he's going to be a factor in the fall as well. This is not he's not an automatic redshirt. And at this point, I don't know that they're expecting to redshirt him. So we'll see what happens. But as of right now, I'd bet on DeAndre Francois being ultimately the guy who takes the most snaps at the quarterback position in 2016, which again is a good sign because of the kind of talent that he's starting to display. The secondary, not much to say there other than that it's really, really, really good. Both Lewis and McFadden have gotten rave reviews. McFadden apparently moves like a guy. I mean, he's fluid and looking fluid like a guy who's 3 or 4 inches shorter. And Lewis is the more explosive of the two, and actually, one of my sources actually said that he feels Lewis has been just slightly better than McFadden so far, but that they've both been extremely good. It's been really, really close. Which one person I talked to said that the good thing at this point is that with either Lewis or McFadden opposite Marquez White, they're going to be able to single cover almost anybody in the country. Any two receivers in the country, they'll be able to single cover with the wide corners, which is a big, big deal. That's again what they could do last year with Jalen Ramsey and with Marquez White, and now being able to do it this year again with those two guys who are both going to play, and with Marquez White again, that's a big deal. And then of course at safety you've got Derwin James, who apparently his interception in the scrimmage was a freak of nature type play, running one direction and then bending, turning backwards and bending almost horizontal to the ground, or almost perpendicular to the ground, and reaching back and making a catch on a ball that pretty much any normal human being or even a good player doesn't touch. So Derwin, he's going to get his. He's going to, you know, as long as he stays healthy, the guy's the best defensive back in the country. Still crazy to think that he and Jalen Ramsey were in the same secondary last year. It's just unfair. And again, Jalen Ramsey just put up one of the best workouts you will ever see from a defensive back in the field drills at the Florida State Pro Day. I mean, the guy is just an absolute machine. He's a monster athletically and you know, you've got to really consider if you're Tennessee. I mean, he actually is making them have to think about whether or not it's worth taking him at the number one pick spot. I mean, and which, given the quality of the offensive tackle he's up against with Laremy Tunsil, that's saying a lot. I mean, the guy is just, and just, I'm going to take a brief, you know, 1 minute rant here. There are lots of people out there who keep saying, oh, Jalen Ramsey's a safety in the pros. He's better at safety. Here's the thing. If we're going to look at today, if we're going to look at, say, no, in November of 2015, yeah, Jalen Ramsey's probably a little bit better at safety than he is at corner. He's, you know, maybe one of the best safeties in the league without having to improve anything day one. He's one of the best safeties in the league. But here's the thing. This is what differentiates good talent evaluators from a lot of average talent evaluators is the ability to project. And you see this a lot with high school players, where you see guys rated based on where they are now versus where they're going to be. Jalen Ramsey doesn't have to improve a thing to be a great safety. He's got some work to do technically to improve his technique as a cornerback. But the thing is, those fixes are not difficult fixes. Most of his technical stuff is stuff that can be really cleaned up, and it's partly because he hasn't played corner all that much. And the thing is, once he fixes those technical things, I think you're looking at a guy who's one of the top three or so corners in the NFL within about a year. So, yeah, he's probably better at safety right now. But in 6 months, he might be one of the three best corners in the league. And that's the difference. Being able to project is really, really important. And that's true across, you know, that's true for high school kids to college. That's true, you know, in terms of recruiting. That's true with coaches once they've got players on the roster, being able to move them around to different places and understand what guys can do and what you can get them, what you can fix and what you can't, what you can ask a guy to learn to do and what he's just incapable of learning. Ramsey has almost no limit as a corner prospect. Yes, he's not quite as fluid and sudden in terms of being able to defend the really, really small, shifty guys at this point, and they'll be able to turn him around a little bit initially. But I think long-term, this is a guy who's going to be a lockdown corner at the NFL level. Talking about Richard Sherman with track speed. Physically, again, you know, in terms of versatility and coverage ability and all that, I think you're looking at a guy who's going to, you know, who's a Charles Woodson type guy, but athletically, he's Antonio Cromartie. That's the physical, that's the body you have. Anyway, that was a little bit longer than a minute, but we'll talk more about Ramsey in a future podcast, but just a few things just on off the top of my head, just while we're talking about Derwin James and the great defensive backs at Florida State of late, those guys are in the same defensive backfield, and James is going to be incredible next year. Other thing, we've already talked about the defensive line, defensive tackles. They feel extremely good about that group, that they're going to be able to rotate and stay fresh with guys that are going to be able to not just be depth, but be players at that defensive tackle position, at those two defensive tackle positions. And they're going to put three of those guys on the field at different points. Go big at the defensive line with more three-man defensive lines, and then have some guys on the edge as you know, maybe Sweat in a 2-point stance and then a star, maybe Jacob Pugh on the outside there, outside of an odd front because of what they've got at that defensive line, spot. I mean, Ime has been tremendous. He's going to get starter minutes. He's going to get starter reps, and he's been apparently in the film room a ton when they've not been practicing. They've been very impressed with his maturity. The concern on defense is actually not the linebackers, by the way. The linebackers are improving still, shouldn't be a weakness, and Matthew Thomas, as long as he stays out there, is a stud. The real concerns on defense are actually the edge rush. Lorenzo Featherston, we learned this week, he may be done. And even if he's not done, I mean, you're looking at a guy that's under 220 pounds at this point, and really, you know, you need more from that position. Josh Sweat continues to need to develop a little bit more over the summer. I mean, he just needs, you know, he's still only a year and a half away from that, not even a year and a half, off of that catastrophic knee injury, and he still needs to develop a little bit more strength and so on and just get more comfortable over the summer. I think he probably takes a step forward at that point, but he still needs to take a step forward for them to have what they need in terms of edge rush. DeMarcus Walker is a really good end, but he's not a true edge rusher. Jacob Pugh last year is a little disappointing, and he's been battling an ankle injury in the spring, and really they don't have anybody else on the edge other than those guys. So at this point, particularly with Featherston going down and most likely getting DQ'd at this point, they're probably going to need Brian Burns to play earlier than expected. He's going to need to come in ready to play. Also, we've also been told that they really expect to see Shavar Manuel have a real shot at some legitimate reps at strong side defensive end with Leonard at that offensive line moving to offensive line. Manuel's going to have a shot at some of those minutes at defensive end because of his athleticism and what he can bring to the table as a backup to Walker. And again, that's not because they're not pleased with Torres. Torres is who he is. He's just not a creative player. He's going to be a solid player for them at that defensive end spot. He can occupy a lineman. He can do what you ask him to do, but he's not going to create pressure off of the edge, for example. And that's the sort of thing that Manuel might be able to do. So anyway, in summary, I'm just going to go ahead and quickly summarize what we've talked about so far. The positives, Francois looks like he's going to make a real run at the starting quarterback position. Henry continues to be poised. Positives all around at the quarterback position from those two guys. Everything that you would hope for at this point in the spring from both of them. Wide receiver position should be fine. The fact that, by the way, Nooney, Nyquan Murray he had a knee injury that looked bad initially in practice, hyperextended it. It's not a torn ACL. It's not a torn MCL. Nothing torn, apparently. He's out for the rest of the spring, but apparently should be able to make a full recovery. That's a big deal because he looked like apparently the second best receiver at a lot of points over the course of the year, over the course of the spring. But the receiver position should be fine. The defense is going to be extremely good at the defensive tackle positions, and then the secondary, they need to continue to develop a little bit on the edge. That's where the big concern is on the defense is at that edge rush spot. The other concerns on this team are at the center position and the backup running back spot. So I mean, this team projects to be pretty good coming into 2016. They just need a few other pieces to fall into place to be a real title contender, and they should be a title contender, but in order to win a title, they're just going to need to be a little bit better at that edge rush spot, and they're going to need to get some real improvement at that center spot. So lots of positives at this point in the spring. Moving into the second segment here, just talking about a little bit about Florida State recruiting, which continues to just be on fire at this point. This 2017 class as good as the 2016 class and as deep as that class was, Florida State's in position for the 2017 class to be that much better, particularly with some of the top-end talent. They just got off hosting another visit from their top quarterback target, Bailey Hockman from Powder Springs, Georgia. And as of right now, all indications are very positive that the Florida State's going to have a real chance to land their top quarterback target, which, as a rule, when Jimbo Fisher lands the guy he wants, that's at that position, that's generally a pretty good thing. DeAndre Swift going to be visiting Florida State, one of the nation's top three or four running backs, going to be visiting Florida State here soon. Kalon LeBourne, one of the other top running backs in the country, former high school teammate of Levante Taylor, is another who's visited recently, and he's another who, as of right now, is probably trending toward Florida State, has a good chance that he commits to Florida State. And if both of those guys wind up committing, Florida State would have Zaquandre White, the top running back in the state of Florida, who's better than I think anybody realized when he first committed. and DeAndre Swift and Kalon LeBourne in the same class. Those three, I don't see how they could keep all three in the same class, but my goodness. They would take all three. And with the way that Jimbo Fisher likes to split carries and with some of the differences between the various guys, I mean, they'd find ways to use him, but my goodness. Donovan Peoples-Jones, top-rated wide receiver in some services in the country, from Michigan. He's visiting this weekend. Florida State's been using this spring quite a bit to host a lot of players, a lot of top players, and with the limited spots that they have, they've been very successful at getting players to make it clear whether they're interested or not. And a lot of these top players have been interested. Still haven't gotten T. Higgins to visit. He's at this point continuing to favor Clemson or Tennessee. I think they'd still like to get him to visit, big wide receiver out of Tennessee. If I remember correctly, he actually works, does his training with Jalen Ramsey's father. So still some chance that he actually comes on campus as well. Probably not in the spring, but maybe in the summer, maybe for camp. Top tight end prospect, Alexander Marshall, also was on campus not too long ago, looking at a 6'7 guy who played lacrosse. Still some concerns in terms of whether they're going to be able to pull one or two of the top line prospects that they want at that offensive line, out of the offensive line spot. They've got the ability to be selective, but they want to get a top guy, maybe a Calvin Ashley or an Alex Leatherwood. Be interesting to see what they can do there. Continue to be a player for Marvin Austin at defensive tackle, in addition to top prospects from Gainesville, Florida's backyard, both legacies to Florida State. Jalen Parks and Corey Durden could be just an insane defensive tackle class. Robert Beal, their top end prospect, they've had him on campus once so far, expecting to host him one more time. He's going to be an earlier decision. I think Georgia's become more of a player in that recruitment than they were before, and that's the real concern for any kid from Georgia. He's very coveted by Florida State, Alabama, and Georgia. So, you know, that's anytime you're looking at a kid who's wanted by all three of those schools, and especially if the kid's from Georgia, you don't know what to count on. But again, Beal's an interesting guy. I mean, he wants to go to the same place where his sister goes. And they've been very clear that she's going to enroll this fall, and he's going to commit to wherever she enrolls, but she's going to enroll wherever he feels most comfortable, and that it's a team decision. So still plenty to go with there. Vandarius Cowan, continues to show out at camp visits. Tremendous, much more fluid than I think a lot of people realized. I thought his film was fluid, but some have at camp said that he's been even more fluid than expected. Bradley Jennings Jr., another early commit, another Florida State legacy. Dekalon Brooks is most likely the next commit to Florida State. A lot of folks, and I'm probably one of them, still are of the belief that if his last name isn't Brooks, he's probably not getting an offer. But the thing is, he's good enough to potentially play that money role, that Nate Andrews role. So it's not a wasted offer. He's a really good athlete and he's fluid. So it'll be interesting to see how they work him into the lineup and into the rotation. A little bit smallish, but a really good athlete at that linebacker kind of hybrid spot. Then you've got Cyrus Fagan, already committed at safety. They're continuing to pursue Malik Gray as the top guy on that, on the board at the safety spot for the second position. And then Stanford Samuels the third. I still think we're going to see him commit a little bit sooner rather than later. He spent a long visit together with his father, who I played with at Florida State, this last weekend. They spent basically the full weekend there, really had a good time. And I think we'll see him in the class sooner rather than later. And then it's just a matter of filling out the last couple spots. I mean, Florida State has just been absolutely on a tear recruiting wise, and there's not going to be a wasted spot in this class. I mean, the closest thing to a wasted spot is going to be Dekalon Brooks, and he's a good football player. So, and there's going to be nobody else who's really not a blue chip player in this class. So, I mean, this is going to be a tremendous recruiting class for Florida State in 2017, and they've done an exceptional job using the spring to continue to build towards having that class almost wrapped up as they come into the fall. I mean, I'm expecting them to have, you know, almost maybe a dozen commitments out of the 17 or 18 spots that they're probably going to have in this class going into the fall. It's pretty amazing at this point. And then it's just a matter of holding on to them. And again, some of those commitments, if you can get a Robert Beal to commit and his sister does enroll, then that's a less likely flip than a lot of other guys, especially, you know, top ranked guys from the state of Georgia. So it's going to be really interesting to see, again, these next few commits. I mean, hopefully you can get, if you're Florida State, you're hoping to get Stanford Samuels and Robert Beal among the two, the next couple commits. And Bailey Hockman, I think, is going to be one of the next ones to commit as well, whether it's to Florida State or to, I think the other program that's really in play here is North Carolina. But we'll know a little bit more about these here in the forthcoming weeks. Within about 6 weeks, we'll have a really good idea of where Florida State's class is at some of those spots that aren't filled right now. Well, that's going to do it for us today. Once again, before we get out of here, just a reminder, you can follow me on Twitter at Doc Staples. Of course, Seminole Sports Radio at Seminoles Radio for the latest on FSU sports. Make sure to catch our next podcast. We're going to continue to cover Florida State spring practice. We're not going to waste your time with a lot of daily filler, you know, stuff where we're just trying to fill the air. But where I've got some information and where we've got something to report, podcasts will get posted. So stay tuned. I'm Jason Staples. This has been the Unconquered Podcast on Seminole Sports Radio of Esporto Channel. Thanks for listening. I made this.